Well, the thing is, there's issues for the good government, and they've been asked to fix.
When the Mishkan is constructed, so we see that the external structure is built first. However, you take a look at this parsha. What's the first thing that we encounter? The kelim, the aron. So not Rashi, what?
You're saying not the structure.
It's the opposite. It's the opposite. So Rashi points this out. Take a look at the first Mari Mokum over here. The pasuk in Pekudei says, "If it's Salab and Urim and Chur Lamate Yehuda, Asas Kol Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe." He did everything Hashem commanded Moshe. Okay, you know, Yishkoyach, one of those sort of like boring psukim that's kind of obvious. So Rashi writes, "No, there's a chiddush here." With Salab and Urim and Goimer, Asas Kol Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. He did everything Hashem commanded Moshe. And what about what Moshe commanded him? Like, you know, what shouldn't it say something like that? That Bezalel did everything that Hashem commanded Moshe, and Moshe commanded him. It's almost as if the pasuk is saying Bezalel did the things Hashem commanded Moshe, even though Moshe kind of left it out, and nobody told him about it. Well, so we'll see what the Rashi does with this. He says Asher Tziva Moshe Ein Ksiv Kan. It doesn't say that Moshe commanded, like to Bezalel, for example. Elakol Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. Afilu Devarim Shali Amar Loi Rabbi. Even the things that Moshe Rabbeinu never told Bezalel. His mind understood what HaKadosh Baruch told Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Because the commandments that we find in this parsha, right, I should be marking this with what Rabbi Arlovsky always likes to say, right? That the three orthodox diseases are phalaseophobia, benchophobia, and mishkanophobia. Because as soon as you start learning about the Mishkan, everybody's eyes get like glassy and like, yeah, you know, nobody's interested. So like, I'm sorry, but hopefully this will be therapy for everyone. And anyway, so Moshe Rabbeinu commands the Kalim. And later on, in the end of the parsha, he starts talking about the Krushim. They're called Krushim because they're so large. If not careful, they would crush him. Also, Rabbi Arlovsky joke. Anyway, so...
They were huge, right?
Right, not a joke, right? Like carbonos, right? Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, anyway, Bezalel was like, you know, Moshe, I'm thinking that when I get married and I need all kinds of furniture and a bedroom set and whatnot, we'll go shopping for the bedroom set and whatever, eventually we'll get an apartment. And where is it being delivered? Whatever, we're over there somewhere. So you can't do that. So that's what Rashi writes, that the tzivui that we find in this week's parsha is build the kelim. V'achar kach, it talks about everything else. So he flipped the order. No. Minak oilam la'asais techila bayis. V'achar kach meisim kelim v'sayil. The minak oilam is to first have a building to bring the kelim into. Amar aloi, so Moshe Rabbeinu says to Bezalel, kach shamati mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You chapped. That's what a Kaddish Baruch Hu told me. Amar loy Moshe b'tzeil keil hayisa. That's his name. It's like you're in the shadow of Hashem. Ki bevadei kach tziva li a Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's obviously what Hashem commanded me. Chenasa mishkan tchila v'charka chasa keilim. So that's what Bezalel did. What piece of very important information did Rashi leave out of this? Well, then why didn't you tell us that way? Right? Why did you reverse it? Why did you change it? So Rashi doesn't say a word.
One second. First, the Kaddish Baruch Hu told him to build a structure, and then the inside, and Moshe reversed it to Bezalel.
Yeah, that's what it seems like, right? That's what Rashi seems to say. You're right. That's what Kaddish Baruch Hu said. No. So what did you? What are you trying to drive us crazy over here? You're testing us. What's this all about? So I think the Pashup Shad, and there must be those that say this, I've heard it before, is that when you're creating something, so the first thing, if you want to call it the blueprints, but it's not really the blueprints, it's the purpose of the blueprints. You have to know, if you're going to build a house, you have to know, well, what kind of house do you want? What's the goals over here? What's going to happen in this house? Then we know how to do it. In other words, the tachlis of what this structure is about is the first thing that's in mind. So Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, the whole purpose of this is the Hashras HaShchina. It's all about the Aron. So the Aron is the first thing commanded. Now, of course, you need a building to put it into, but the building is not really what it's about. It's really about the kelim inside. So the first thing Moshe Rabbeinu commands is the purpose of the Mikdash, the Mishkan in this case. Afterwards, the practical side of it? Okay, practical side of it, you have to build practically first. So, okay.
Why is it so amazing then that he figured that out? And he didn't keep it in the right order.
Yeah, it's like obvious, but that's not what Moshe Rabbeinu said. So maybe he should have been like, okay, well, that's what you said first, so that's what we're going to do. You know, so no. So he says, no, that's, you know, he was practical. He was, it's as if Moshe Rabbeinu is so tapped into the Ruchnius that he's tapped into like the Tachlis. But sometimes a person that's so focused on the Tachlis doesn't know how to like do it in the real world. So Bezalel is the one that can bring it into the real world and make it happen.
But what was so brilliant about what Bezalel said?
Right.
Doesn't seem particularly brilliant. No, it's kind of obvious,
right?
He was thinking it practically, that's all.
Right. Okay. Good question. You know what? I don't have a better answer. Have to think about it. So, okay. That being said, that's the hakdama to everything we're going to talk about. So if you accept my argument, then it means that the kelim are really the purpose, and there would be an order to them, right? What's the second one on the list after the arum? What do you think? Let's take a guess. What would you think? Forget, it says, it doesn't say, in your own mind, what should be the next one?
I can argue with both the menorah and the shulchan.
Can you?
Yeah.
But the mizbeach you don't like. Mizbeach hakteres, you're not interested in.
No.
No.
Sounds like that's the answer you wanted.
What about the mizbeach for karbanos?
No, that's all the way out.
On the outside. Chutz. So, anyway, I would think that the menorah would be the next one. I think because we generally think symbolically. It represents Torah. Seven branches, seven years, you know. Shivim panim.
The reverse of the, what the kind of all those
Yom Kippur. Oh. It happens to be the Shulchan. Happens to be the Shulchan, and the
then
question is what?
Then
the menorah, right. And the Mizbech HaKeteres, Anan Dachar Shmei. That comes later on. Very interesting. Ramban deals with it. But for our purposes, what I want to focus on is what is the pshat, and what is the meaning behind the Shulchan being the second thing commanded after the Arum. That's where carbs come in.
Because it tells us what our role is in this world.
Okay, go ahead. What's your pshat?
So the Shulchan represents, right, the menorah represents Torah, Shulchan represents Parnassah. Perspective, right?
Okay.
So our role is to basically take the Parnassah, take the mundane, and make it holy. So if you're looking at it from, if your spirituality is coming from the Aron HaKodesh and coming into the Mishkan itself, what you have to do is, the Torah is already holy. That's a piece of it. Your goal is to make the next part, to lift it up.
So looking, so to speak, from outside in, yeah. So you'd expect that would be our avoda. Like I heard from Rakan one time ago, I like to say that at Shalom Zachar, here's this new baby comes to the world. What's the message to the baby? So you know the Mefarshim in the Shulchan Aruch. So they write that he's in Avelus for his loss of Torah, forgot all his Torah, and he comes to this world. And what do? The poor kid. Here, have some food, fresh, gashmias, you know? Like, that's what I'm all upset about, you know? Have some more. You shove it in his face. No, but that's the idea, is that can be accessed in the right way on Shabbos. That to be able to access the physical in a way that's for a Kaddish, but that's what Shabbos is all about. And that's what you're doing here.
And we still do it every Shabbos.
You have chickpeas at your house? So, okay, so I want to start one step back. Let's just say very pashut for a minute. Let's say very pashut. You take a look. It says in Malachim about Elisha Navi. If you remember, they were the Gemara says Soni Matanas Yechia from Shlomo Amalech. If you hate presents, you'll live. So you're not supposed to accept gifts. So if you're looking for a model, Shmuel Hanavi. Shmuel Navi was on a constant camping trip. He was in Winnebago and everywhere he went, and he didn't let anybody do anything for him. But if you're looking for a model of taking, so to speak, of accepting gifts, Elisha Hanavi. And so I always said the pshat. That because Elisha Navi wasn't really taking, he was really giving by taking. If you really want from other people, you want gifts, they're a taker. But if you're only accepting it because you want to enable the other person to give, they really want to give, you don't want it. But you want them to be able to give, you're really giving by taking. So Elisha, where do you find Elisha Navi did that? So this is it, this is the possibility. So Elisha, remember that there was the woman and her husband, and he used to pass through however often he would pass through. So she says, he's a very holy man. Over Aleinu Tamim, and he's constantly passing by.
Right?
Correct. Nasa na Elias Kir. Well, build an addition. Whatever, it wasn't Pomona, it was easier back then. They'll build an addition. Kitana, small one. Vinasim Laisham, Mita, Vishulchan, Vikise, Umenura. Four things: a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. A menorah is a lamp, right? In other words, he should have a bed, he should have a table, he should have a chair, and he should have a light, he should have a lamp. So Ayin Sham in the Malbim, if you want to see how the Malbim takes us in a different direction, that has to do with a Shechina that was with Elisha and Navi, but we're going to stick with the Pashav Shah, that this is what you do for a guest. If you have a guest, what's the essentials of a person that's passing through? You need a place to sleep, you need a place to sit and a table to eat and to learn, and you need a lamp to be able to see what you're eating and to learn. So that those are the essence of Hachnas Asarchim. That's what you're going to have. Isa Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's being mashra his Shechina with us. We want to be able to give a Kadosh Baruch Hu a place to stay. So we want to give him a mita, a kise, a shulchan, a menorah, a bed, a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hinei lo yanum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't sleep. Okay, so we'll get rid of the bed. But we have to give him a kise. What do you mean the kise? So I've said this a million times. That in Kabbalah Shabbos, in the second Hashem, Hashem Malach, so you say that Kadosh Baruch Hu is yoyishev kruvim. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu sits on kruvim. When Yechezkel describes Merkava, Yoshev Kruvim. Yeah, but there it specifically mentions Kruvim, which is what's so interesting. So Kadosh Baruch is referred to as the one who sits on Kruvim. So if we're going to give him a chair, well, he's got to have his Kruvim.
You also rented in Sukkah.
Yeah, that's all about that. So the what I'm pointing out is the Yoshev Kruvim. So it's a kisei. It's his kisei HaKavod in Olam HaZeh. We've discussed that in the past.
No, you're not out.
I think that's why they canceled.
You can't be in. You just have to be in the WhatsApp group like me.
And oh, definitely
in
the WhatsApp group.
That's the first thing I have to do.
So the Aron is the kisei. That's the kisei. And of course, there's a shulchan and there's a menorah. So that's what you need. So on the very simplest of levels, so you'll say that the lamp is secondary to the shulchan. It's there to give light to the shulchan. So if we're bringing a place for a Kadosh Baruch, we're providing him a place with us, just like the Isha Ashuramis did. So there has to be these things. Okay, there's not going to be a bed. But everything else we should have. The problem with this, and this is why, Eli, I'm going to go in a different direction from you. Do you remember what it says about the windows in the Beis HaMikdash? Do you remember this? In the olden days, they didn't have glass like we have. They had just open windows, but they had angles to them. So normally, the window would be narrower on the outside, and it would widen as you get in the house. Because that way, the light that would come in would expand as you got into the house. Yeah. And in the Beis HaMikdash, those are like the slits, you know? You can't have so much room in there. But in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Kodesh, where the menorah was, and all these things were, the windows were the opposite. As if the light is shining from inside out. Which, of course, it is. That's the point. Is that the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, which is really the same thing, the purpose of the light was not for inside. The purpose of the light was to shine out and to symbolically show that this is where all of the light of the world comes from. So instead of viewing it as our tachlis in terms of approaching a Kadosh Baruch Hu, for tonight, let's look at it in terms of a Kadosh Baruch Hu who's approaching the world. That to use the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash as a place of expressing a Kadosh Baruch Hu outwardly, how would that work then, that the Shulchan comes before the Menorah? What's the message of that? What's that all about? So, it's interesting, every single time the Shulchan and Menorah are mentioned, because I mentioned a few times in a few different places, it's always Shulchan before Menorah. You can look it up. It's always like that. And I have one more point before we go on, is that what is the location of these things? So take a look at the next Marim Mokam. It says in Perek Chavav Pasek Lamed Hey, the Shulchan has a location, and in Pekudei it does mention a location in Menorah. But take a look what it says in this week's parsha. V'samta es haShulchan mechutz laParoiches. The Shulchan is outside the Paroiches, right, which is the dividing between the Kodesh and Kodesh HaKadoshim. V'esa Menorah, where's the Menorah go? Noichach haShulchan. Opposite the Shulchan. Again, where is the Shulchan? V'ashulchan titein atzelat safoin. The end of the pause, yeah? Atzelat safoin. That in that, which safoin is which direction again?
North.
On the north side is the Shulchan. Okay, so menorah mamela is on the... So why don't you say that? No.
It has to be together, like you said before.
It's noichach ha-shulchan. It's opposite the Shulchan. Right? In other words, the Shulchan has a physical location, but the menorah here does not. It does. But only because of where the Shulchan is.
Right.
The menorah only...
No Shulchan, be no menorah, no
that's what it's at, right? Okay, so file that away. for a little bit later. But that's what the pasuk makes it sound like the location is defined as only as dependent on the position of the shulchan. Well, we'll see where we end up.
After Pesach,
that it's relative.
It's relative only to Pesach.
Right. Similar. Right. 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 Same kind of idea. Okay. Here we go. Rabbi Bachai, he says, what exactly is the purpose of the shulchan? So let's take a look at this. Vasisa shulchan. For any spire, ki ha'aroin, tzarech gadol hayalias lucha se'edim ha'idus munachem esoichai. So we're not going to talk about this, but we'll read what he says, that he calls this a tzarech gadol. What he means, of course, is that it was for a Kaddish Baruch Hu, not for us. That takes us into a whole philosophical conversation. Is the Mishkan for us? Is it for a Kaddish Baruch Hu? So we're not going there today. But that's what Rabbeinu Bachaye writes, that that's for have the luchos in it. Fine. The kapayres, kamhu akisi asher, alav, kumoy v'chamata. I say, fine, he says that. Now, skip, about the end of that paragraph.
Kapayres is the kisei.
Okay, yeah, like we were saying before. But, aval ashulchan, ma haya mishamesh. What did it serve? What was its purpose? What was it necessary for? So listen to this. And again, remember, we're taking the perspective inside out. Yeah? Inside out, not outside of. Al derech hapshat, hutzrach ha-shulchan b'veis Hashem b'lechem asher alav liyos sheresh davar shetachul ha-bracha boy. So we'll translate it and try to explain and understand. Upon it is the root of the thing that will rest bracha on it. In other words, bracha comes to the world. What kind of bracha? Physical bracha. Parnas, a physical bracha, gashmistika bracha, comes because of the shulchan. Because there has to be something for bracha to rest on. V'halechem esher alav hayanecha l'kohanim mishar seham mikdash. The kohanim were the ones that ate it. V'hayamaspik l'rabim mehem ha'at mimenu. They ate a teeny bit, and it filled them up. Okay, ain't shamru chazal, kol shen yatzav megib. Okay, it's not like I got a kipul. Like I put the nekudos here. Kipul, they would eat like a bean. Hayasaveya, and they would be full.
Oh, I wish there was like that.
It's a bracha. Okay, nikra shulchan shekadosh baruch hu sholeach birchasoi velechem she'alav. That's why it's even called the shulchan. He says, "Umisham habracha mishtaleach v'chol hamazoinos." So any bracha that comes to the whole wide world comes because it latches on in that place, and it has a nace that's the bracha is in the me'ayim of the kohanim, that the bracha grasps on, it connects to the world right there when that nace happens, and then it spreads to the rest of the world.
So that's the source.
So that's the inside out. The inside out, as this is where bracha is chal.
And it goes out to the rest of the world.
Correct. So he says, like, you take a look at the Nevi'im and all these kinds of things. So he says, for example, by Elisha Hanavi, that he asks this woman, remember the case was that they had supported the Nevi'im for many, many years, hiding them from Achav, that they wouldn't get killed, and then her husband dies and she has incredible debts. So she comes to Elisha Hanavi, she says, what am I supposed to do? He's going to take my kid. What am I going to do? He says, what do you have in the house? She says, just a little tiny jar of oil. Says, ah, perfect. Borrow kalim from all of your neighbors, and then, of course, start pouring. And as long as there's a kli, so it keeps pouring, no more kalim, it stops pouring. What do you need? What does she have to have anything for? Grab an empty kli and start pouring. It's a nace anyway. She has to start off with a little bit of oil. Yes. Bracha has to have something that it starts with. There's a bracha starter. Like when you make a fire, you have to have a starter. It has to have something to latch onto before it can spread. Now? Rule for bracha. Take a look. Halacha l'maise. On the Shulchan Aruch, it says, the halachas of crumbs. You want to get anybody really upset? And they go, halacha, halacha, details, details, this is it. You go, halachas of crumbs? I mean, crumbs? That's right. Halachas of crumbs. Ein lahasir hamapa v'halecha mar'acha birchas hamazin. They are not supposed to take off the tablecloth and the bread until after you've benched. If a person doesn't leave bread on his table when he benches, ein roya simen bracha la'olam. He doesn't see a sign of bracha. You see where this is going, because that's what it latches onto. He's making a bracha. He's bringing down bracha. The bracha needs something to latch onto. If you clear the table, there's nothing there. What's the bracha going to latch onto? We say, whatever's in the pantry. Okay, but it's the brachas on what you ate at the table.
That's why if you convey a student in one room, you can't convey a student in another
room. Yeah, maybe. No, you're not supposed to bring a whole loaf of bread to the table in order to do this. That's Darkei HaMoiri, because everybody knows that you do the Avodah Zarah, right? We talked about this a little bit. That what you bring the Avodah Zarah is their food. You put it on their plate and you say, you know, oh great, idols, please eat, you know. So we don't do that. So you don't bring like a bread to the table and say, oh my Lord, you know. So whatever is left, the bracha needs to be chal, but it's not about giving God bread or something. So we don't do that. The Mishnah Brura writes, what's this all about? So the first thing he says, it has to be recognized that you're benching a Kaddish Baruch for his chesed, so you want to leave something that represents the chesed of Hashem. But the second thing he says is that bracha only rests on something. It doesn't rest al davar reik, on something empty. El kishyesh sham davar kinyan pach shemen shel elisha. Like you find over there. So that's a tzushtel, that's what the Rebbeinu B'chaye is talking about. So that's what's happening by the shulchan. So back to our question. So that should come before the menorah. Doesn't the menorah represent Torah? The light of Torah to the world. Doesn't Torah come first? Why should it be that bracha, gashmias, is more important than Torah? So there's a chassam sofer. There are two chassam sofers we're going to see, and we're going to call it a day. Chassam sofer writes, V'yasu aron, v'acharkach shulchan, v'acharkach menorah sahav. So he asks this question, and he quotes from the author of the Trumas HaDeshen, Maharai, we want to pronounce that, Al-Rashi, the La'olam Shulchan Koidem LeMenorah. You take a look. It's always in that order. The Shulchan always comes before the Menorah. He's bothered by what we're about. He's asking this question. He says it's not so crazy. Kama Zevulun Koidem LeYisachar. It's always that way. Zevulun supports Yisachar. Zevulun was the one that was working and supporting Yisachar and learning, and Zevulun comes before Yisachar all the time. Ki Shulchan. But if you take a look in the Torah, that's the order. The order is always Zevulun before Yisachar. What? It's not always like that? No. So he says like this?
It's not like that.
It says, is a Zavula, how's it go?
Where? Is a bracha or in Vayechi?
In Vayechi, what's the bracha? It says, Zavula, how's it say? Yisachar, okay, we'll look it up. So he says that the Shulchan refers to Oisher, and the Menorah, of course, is a reference to Torah. Quotes like it says, you know, it even brought down that if you want to have more of one, you have to turn yourself a little bit in Shemana Esrei. Yeah, you heard this before. Whatever. Shahachana le menorah parnasas talmud chacham. That the preparation for the menorah, for Torah, the parnasa, the talmud chacham, tzarech liyos koidim talmud Torah. You have to provide him with parnasa before he can learn. If there's nothing to eat, how's he going to learn?
In kemachin
Torah. In Cain, I have a kasha myself. He says, if I'm right, I have a kasha. What's my kasha? I'm a arun koidim. Then why is the arun first? All right. So he's actually asking a bigger question than he asks, because what do you need two different kalim to represent Torah for? So this is really interesting.
One is down in this world.
So you have to make a distinction somewhere, right? There has to be some difference between what one represents. So listen to what he says. It's Tzarech Lechalek. You have to distinguish between the two types of Torah, or at least two components of Torah. Ki menorah merameis al talmid chacham ha'oskim be'iyun ve'oimek pilpul. It's a Talmud Chacham. That's like, he's herving. He's mamish learning. He's with his thumb. Lezet zarech achanas shulchan tchila. That's the person needs to be supported, that he should be able to do that and to learn.
You're right.
V'amar Rava, l'rabbanan, l'sechazu kamay, l'vim anisan l'yom etishrei. Right? The Gemara says that Rava used to tell the Talmidim, I don't want to see you when you're supposed to be planting, and I don't want to see you when you're supposed to be harvesting. You show up when that's done so that you can learn properly. Because if you don't have your mazonos prepared, you're not going to be able to learn at all. So make sure that you take off at that time. I don't want to see you over here, that you should be preparing for that. Okay, what about the Aron? About Iker HaTorah, Shmiras HaDas, Mitzvayseha. If you want the essence of Torah, and the essence of the preservation of our religion, and all the mitzvahs, the Ein Ben Chayrin Li'batil, that there's no way out. There's like, everyone has to be Oseik in this. Behind Aron HaKadosh V'Haluchos. That's representative of the Aron HaKadosh V'Haluchos. Let me explain this. Let me present this in a slightly different way. You probably know this already. There's a Tosis and Brachas. Take a look at the next Mari Mokum. He says, "Avo birchas asher bachar banu birchas la'asik b'divrei Torah." Like the brachas that we make daily on Torah, shehin ikar lebirchas haTorah poteres kol hayon. What happens if you go to work and you go learn night seder? So you make a new bracha. You come to the kinyan mesech, you make a new birchas haTorah, but you were very busy at work. You probably weren't learning, so it's a hefsek, right? The im timer maishna misukah. Why should it be different? You're supposed to live in the sukkah all day. You're supposed to live in the Torah all day. Okay. But you leave your sukkah and you go ice skating. So then, you know, when you come back, you have to make a new bracha on your sukkah.
If you leave your sukkah.
Yeah, but you leave the sukkah. You leave. Oh, so that's his answer somehow. But what's the answer? Torah is different. He never is miyayish his mind from. His mind never gives up from Torah. Okay, nobody knows exactly what Taisus means. I'm just going to take a certain angle on it for today. That a person never gives up his mind completely from Torah. Why? To call Sha Adam Mukhiyav Lomoid. Every moment the person is obligated to learn. They're supposed to learn all day and all night. It's as if a person's learning all day without a hafsek. There's a certain time you do it. Okay, it's hard to understand exactly what he means. I'd like to make the following argument with this Chassam Sofer. But the Chassam Sofer is saying there are two components to Torah. There's the Torah that you can't get out of, and then there's them sitting down in front of a Sofer and really, you know, getting into the sugya. Getting into the sugya, you can't do at work. But what are you doing all day, even if you're not actively learning? You're thinking to yourself, did I make a bracha? Did I not make a bracha? Did I change rooms? Did I go in the car? I'm allowed to make one bracha in the car. You're thinking all day of all the things that come up all day. Because they're constant halachas, especially if you're in like Jamaica, let's say, on vacation. So there are all kinds of shilas that were
went there
so,
on purpose to create more
time.
That's what it was.
I was
perfect. Why not? You know, like, what? That's what I'm paying
not
for.
Not
it's Gewaldic. It's Gewaldic. So... But the point I'm making is, so there are these two components to Torah, right? There's the Torah that you can't escape. There's the Torah that's inside all the time that you just have to be dealing with because you got to be thinking to know what to do, how to negotiate life all day long. So that we're constantly learning because we're constantly thinking. It's the way we are. We're good Jews. So that is the essence of Torah, says. That's the Aron. That's no such thing called, I got to support someone to do that. Even the people doing the supporting of Torah need to do that. That everybody does. But then there's a second component, which is with the thumb and sitting in front of the safer, so that you can't do all day. So that's someone needs to be supported, he should be able to do. So these are the two things that have to, Aaron comes first, that's like, you know, the bottom line. But then there has to be support, so people can do more, people can go further, people can go right, people can go deeper. That also, I think, is how you can answer the other question about why the place of the menorah depends on the shulchan. Because the way that the shulchan rolls is going to define what happens with that menorah.
I thought it would be the opposite, by the way. The Torah should be dependent first, and then...
But in this case, which comes first? Which comes first, and which depends on which? So the Aron is the Aron.
Right, in other words,
but the Menorah depends on...
Parnassah is really destined from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have no control over that. It's whatever our... But Torah, we do have control over. So I would think this. I would think this is far the opposite, meaning the Menorah should be the Ikar, and then the Shulchan is the opposite, just because...
But you can't just... I mean, there is a madrega of just learning, but that's what Rav was saying with Talmidim. You know? Yeah, that's right. Rama and Shmita B'Yavu. Okay. And finally, last for today, the Chassam Sofer takes this one step further, and this is what we'll finish with. He says on... this is a little bit earlier, so this is kind of out of left field, but he says that when Rivka was freaking out with the split personality kid, whenever she would go someplace of Ruchnias, so there was kicking. Whenever she would go someplace of darkness, of Avodah Zarah, there was also kicking. How could that be one person? No, Shnei Goyim Bevitneich, it's two nations are going to come from you. And the Rashi, Chum Chazal, Rebbe and Antonina. So that's one of his questions over here. Why Rebbe and Antonina couldn't pick anybody else? Like, what's that all about? So he gets involved in it. We're not going to go into the kishkas of what he's saying, but what he does say over here, we'll skip to what he puts, it's what he talks about in terms of the shulchan. So he said, let's say, went to the four lines down. Right, like we said before, shulchan always comes before the menorah. And then he quotes what he said in the other place also, that's what it represents, the machzike hatorah, and they come first, just like smach zvulun b'tzeisecha v'yisachar b'oy halecha, in that order. And he quotes the pasuk here. So derech matan adam yarchi v'lifnei gedolim. Fine, quotes other things also. He says like this: v'gamken af al pish menorah b'daroim, which is yamin olam. Okay, this depends on the perspective you take. From the perspective of the Kodesh HaKadoshim looking out, the menorah is on the right. From the perspective of a person facing the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the shulchan's on the right. So right always represents the most chashuv. So on the one hand, the menorah is on the right from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So from our perspective, the shulchan's on the right.
See, is our back ever to the Kodesh HaKadoshim though?
What?
Is our back ever to the Kodesh HaKadoshim?
No, but sort of like, it's like a Kodesh Baruch Hu's approach to the world, sort of. So he says, Mikom Makom Beis HaMikdash Nichlasin Lo B'Mizrach. Nonetheless, whenever we go in, and the Shulchan is on the right. What's that all about? He says, Atam Lazet Ki Yisachar Zvulun VeKoyhanim Yisraelim. Right? There's a similar relation between Kohanim and Yisraelim, right? Because Kohanim are the ones doing the Avodah, and the Yisraelim have to support them. Truma, Meiser, right? Shevet Levi. So it means, ready for this? He says, Shneihem Adonim Zelaza. Because they support each other, they both are masters to one another. Vishneihem Nichnoim Zelaza. And therefore, they both have a certain submission to one another. He's going to relate it back to that in the context. But what he's talking about is a Yisachar Zavulan type of relationship, and even Kohanim and Yisraelim. They're on the one hand, they're serving each other, adoinim zeleze, and nichnoim zeleze, and masters to one another, and then submissive to one another. Right? There's the opposite, being a master and submissive. So they're both in both directions. Ki b'Yisachar, it says, v'yet shichma lisbol b'lamaso yved. Now Yisachar, who's supposed to be learning Torah, yedei bina, so it says in the Pasuk that he ends up with a tax, a master's like a tax. He has like a tax to pay. Because what's his learning all about? So clearly, so I have direction. It's not for him. So Klal Yisrael, he's learning for Klal Yisrael. So on the one hand, he's being supported and he's learning like he's the master. On the other hand, he turns around and he has to serve because he has to serve Klal Yisrael. He's meshubed lekach. Ve'oid shemeshubed shemekabu mehem mechaz parnasasa. And also he receives his parnasa from Zavulun. V'chein kohanim l'se'ilim, ekonim Yisrael. And you have the same type of relationship, this symbiotic relationship. V'yomnam kol Yisrael mamlech aleyem es ha'kohanim. Of course, the kohanim are we put on a pedestal. As Tamir Chacham and Tamir Chachamim also, ki nasi alakim heima b'saicham. They're like the princes of God among us. Nimsa Zavulun mamlech Yisachar alav. So of course, Zavulun who's supporting Yisachar puts Yisachar on a pedestal. Al shehu nasi alakim. B'Yisachar mamlech Zavulun. But Yisachar in the other direction puts Zavulun on top of him because that's who he's serving because he has to be able to madrich Klal Yisrael, direct Klal Yisrael in Torah. Nimsa's kavanas hachnas Zavulun. So here's the question. Which one is, so to speak, more l'shem shamayim? Because when Yisachar is doing it, you know, he sort of like has an agenda. Because like he's being supported by Zavulun.
They're codependent.
But he says like this. It turns out that the submission of Zavulun to Yisachar is more l'shem shamayim than Yisachar is to Zavulun. The person that supports, so let's think it through. The person that's supporting that Talmid Chachamim and making sure, so why is he putting them on a pedestal? Because he gets something out of it? Oh, because he's being directed by the, that's not how he thinks. He's doing it because he wants to enable the Talmid Chacham to learn. But the Talmid Chacham is like, he pays me. The Hakar is a toy, he pays me.
Tangible goods, the other gets spiritual goods. It's different.
But we should have a rabbi in our pockets. That's what you're saying.
But his point is that he's claiming here, the Chassam Sofer, that the reason why a Kaddish Baruch Hu puts the Shulchan first is because from a certain perspective, the Shulchan, which is the supporter of Torah, is more L'shem Shamayim than even the Loimed HaTorah. So he comes even before the Loimed HaTorah. That's what he said. And connects us back to Yaakov and Esav, and that was the ideal. That was supposed to be. Yaakov was Oihel, and supposed to learn, and Esav was supposed to support him. Didn't work out that way. So let's just summarize. So you have this in a fascinating thing, especially with the idea of the windows that were working from inside out. Why would it be that the Shulchan would come before the Menorah? You would think the opposite. So even though from a practical perspective, Hachnasas Urchim, this is what it is, but the menorah is not a lamp. It's not a lamp in, it's a lamp out. So shouldn't that be coming first? So the answer is, says Chassam Sofer, we have to realize there are two components to Torah. Yeah, there's one component of Torah that comes before everything else, but that's represented by the Arim. And everybody's osek in that, no matter what you're doing, all day long. And that's why I was arguing the Tosfos, that's what it means, like Yisu, Yom HaMalayla, our minds are never off of Torah. Never off of Torah. But then there's something else, which is with the thumb, to be able to sit down in front of a sefer and learn. That's represented by the menorah and the shivim panim, the seven branches of wisdom, and all those kinds of things. So that is dependent on being supported, that someone is going to be able to do that. That you have to have a shulchan in order to be able to do so. A shulchan comes before that. Not only does the shulchan come before that, because that's what necessitates it, and the menorah has to be noichach shulchan, or it won't exist. But more than that, it even comes first, because there's a madrega of l'shem shamayim that's even greater by the shulchan than there is by the menorah. Because he wants to support Torah, so that should be Torah.
He left out one component in his Mizbeach. Where does that stand now?
For Keteris or for Karban?
No, Keteris, right? We're talking about all the components in the other.
So the Ramban says that the Mizbeach for Keteris is a totally separate thing. And that's why it's presented differently. It's Keneged Midas Adin. That's to get rid of Midas Adin, to address Midas Adin.
That's why the Keteris is focused on
it's always right. It's something entirely different. Uh-huh. So this is really what it's about. These are the three kalim that are expressions of the Kaddish Baruch Hu.